Tonight's shir should also be Bischus Refuah Shalema for Hatinok ben Malkachana, and also the Refuah Shalema from Harav Menachem Mendel ben Rino, Rabbi Michael Taubis. Okay, good. Yeah, another good. I'm sorry. I appreciate everybody's honesty. Without everybody's comments, I wouldn't know what to do. So I really do appreciate it. Rabbi Michael Taubis, a Rav in Teaneck, and I'm one of the Rosh Yeshiva in YU. He recently had a stroke. Baruch Hashem, they said he's doing okay in the hospital cognitively. He's all with it, but I think he's a little bit of mobility is going to, basically it's going to require a little bit of rehab, and he should have a refuah shlema. I use this shiurim all the time for preparation, for my own learning, and as do many of my friends and colleagues. Rabbi Taubis is a fantastic Talmid Chacham, and he should have a refuah shlema. Okay, but I want to talk about the following. Hopefully we have the Mar Makomo sheet that was emailed out. If not, it's also okay, because as we try to do here, we'll read things slowly and clearly. And I'm even going to pull some stuff up on share screen here. Hopefully that'll all work out and it'll be all right. And we'll all learn a little bit of Torah together. Okay. So, just to begin, Shulchan Aruch tells us again, we're all in Simen Reish Samach Gimel. That's all the Halakos Neros. That's where we're going to find everything to do with Halakos Neros. And Se'if Hei, he tells us the following. Kishi Yadlik, when a person makes the bracha, Yivarech, he should make the bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvosav V'Tzivanu L'Hadlik Ner Shel Shabbos. I'm assuming that's what everybody does here. I'm not familiar with. Well, honestly, I don't think I've ever lit Shabbos candles in my life. So you guys can all tell me something totally different, and I really honestly wouldn't know the difference. But I'm assuming that's what everyone does. Echad Ha'ish V'Echad Ha'isha. So this is true for both men and women, right? It's not like men have a certain bracha, women have a different bracha. Everybody makes the same bracha. Gam b'yom tov tzarech levarech lehadlik ner shel yom tov. And on yom tov, we make that bracha. U'b'yom ha-kipurim below Shabbos, yesh mi she'omer shelo yivarech v'ayin lekam en simin taf reishud. He says there is a little bit of a sugya as to whether or not we light neros for Yom Kippur that does not fall out on Shabbos. But that's for another time. Then he quotes the Ramah. Now let's just, before we get to the Ramah, again, let's just quickly make sure we got it. Everybody makes a bracha when it comes to lighting near Shabbos. Now, he doesn't say this clearly, or he doesn't say it explicitly, but Rav Avadji Yosef and other posts can point out that there is a bracha requirement on near Shabbos, and that bracha ought to be done over La'as Yasan. So what's over La'as Yasan mean? Over La'as Yasan means you make the bracha, and then you perform the mitzvah. You're not supposed to do the pu'ula, you're not supposed to do the action, and then make the bracha. Rather, you're supposed to make the bracha and then do the action. What are any exceptions to that mitzvah? Anybody know? Or that rule, I should say, not mitzvah?
Shabbos candles.
Which candles?
Shabbos candles.
Oh, okay, good. So Shabbos candles is what we're going to discuss tonight.
And Yom Kippur candles.
And Yom Kippur candles. Okay, so I don't know so much about Yom Kippur candles. I didn't look up the Shulchan Aruch. Oh, very good. Okay, awesome. And Hamotzi, when we wash the Tzidkas Yadayim, there's this idea to, we wash our hands and then we make the bracha. So, I don't remember why. I don't remember hearing from Rav Schechter, but I know Rav Schechter actually makes the bracha beforehand, if I'm not mistaken, if I remember correctly. I could be totally wrong, but I'm 99% sure I'm correct. Rav Schechter actually makes the bracha beforehand, and I think one time he was in a yeshiva for a Shabbos, and there was a boy in the yeshiva standing behind him, I guess didn't know who Rav Schechter was, and he saw Rav Schechter say, Al Netilas Yadayim, then wash his hands. And the boy said to Rav Schechter, by the way, I don't know if you know, but really you're supposed to make the bracha after. Rav Schechter's like, oh, okay, thank you so much. So Rav Schechter has I don't remember the reason for his opinion, but I do know that's what Rav Schechter holds, but I think most of Klal Yisrael assumes that you wash your hands first, and then you make the bracha. So Ner Shabbos is obviously the other exception to the rule. Why is that? So the Ramah says over here, and the Ramah is kind of picking up on this Nekuda. Yesh mi she'omer she'mavarchin kodem ha'hadlaka. There are those who tell us that you're supposed to make the bracha before lighting. V'yesh mi she'omer she'mavarch achar ha'hadlaka. And there are those who say that you should make the bracha after the hadlaka. Now, what would be the reason for both of those things? So you'd assume the ones who hold you should make a bracha before the lighting is because it has to be over La'as Yasan. But what's the other opinion? Meaning, v'yesh mi she'omer she'mavarch achar ha'hadlaka. So if you look in source number 2, it explains that reason. Why should it be that we make a bracha only after we light? So in source number 3, the Mishnah Berurah says, Svira lei, de'im tivarech hebekilu kabbalah l'shabbos beferush v'shiva surah lahadlik. If you make the bracha, as we're going to see in a little bit, the Shmir Shabbos and many others assume, as the Mishnah Berurah is pointing out, the bracha on your hadlakos near Shabbos is your Kabbalah Shabbos. Now, it's kind of funny, because you didn't actually light anything yet, you just made the bracha. Yet, the Mishnah Berurah is saying that if you make the bracha, so it seems to be that there's this acceptance of Shabbos, and you can no longer go ahead and light. And therefore, it's best to make a bracha after you light. So back in the Shulchan Aruch, in source number 1, the second to last line, smack in the middle, Ukidei sheyehei over la'asiyaso, in order to ensure that our Ner Shabbos, our Halakas Ner Shabbos, is performed in a way of over la'asiyason, i.e., making the bracha and then doing the action, doing the pu'ula. Lo yehena mimena ad la'achar habracha. It's best not to benefit from lighting the candles or from the ner, from the fire, until after you make the bracha. So what does Klal Yisrael do? Umisimim hayad lifnei haner achar hadlaka umavarchin. I don't know anybody who does this, but it's fascinating. If you look at the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, he says you should place your hand lifnei haner. It doesn't say on your eyes, but it says like almost like block the candle, right? Block the camera, block the candle, and then you make the bracha. Va'ach kach misalkan yad. And only after that you remove your hands, v'zem mikrei over la'asiyason, v'chein ha-minog. The minog is to block the fire. So just taking a quick poll, does anybody block the fire and not their eyes?
Well, I do circles around my eyes.
Okay.
You know, around the candles, but with my eyes closed.
So. Okay. Does anybody know, again, I'm an Amoritz, I don't know anything about this, but does anybody know where I think my mother also does the circles. Where is it? Anyone know where that comes from?
I always thought of it as your makabel. You're taking the candles into.
Like you're bringing it in.
Right.
Okay. I hear that. Anybody else? My mom also. I think my wife also. Half the time I'm like running out to show all my wife's trying to get the kids not to knock over the candles and everything. But I think she does the circles also. Okay, interesting. I don't know. It's funny that the Shulchan Aruch says to cover the fire. I've never seen anybody cover the fire.
Most women do the bringing in.
Right, right. It's so interesting. Okay. I have a friend who, whose niece had a birthday party in school when she was in nursery kindergarten, and they brought out the little cake or the cupcakes with a candle on it, and they said, okay, make a wish and blow it out. And she covered her eyes to make a wish and then blew it out. Because anytime she saw candles in her home, it was when her mother was lighting Shabbos candles. So again, like we saw earlier in the shiurim, that Rav Soloveitchik always spoke about how his mother taught him to feel Shabbos. So there you go. Okay. Anyway, let's take a look at source number 8. We're going to jump all the way to source number 8 and take a look at the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, where he really explains this, and he kind of really reiterates the same points as the Shulchan Aruch, but I think it's important just to see it inside. This is in Perek Mem Gimel in Halacha Lamed. He says, Hagever, a guy specifically, She'ino Mekabel Shabbos B'Hadlakas Neros, who is not going to except Shabbos with his lighting of the candles, yotzis tchila es agafror. First he strikes the match, skipping the parentheses, kedei shelo lahafzik bein habracha la'lakas aniros. Va'achrei zeh yivarech. Meaning, he wants to make sure that he has a fire with him, right? So then he makes his brach. It's almost like the same idea when you're drinking water from a water fountain, right? Some people say it's best to actually turn the water on and make the bracha so that you know that the water is there and that there's not going to be a hefsik. So either way, the guy lights a match or he turns on the, what's that thing called? The electric one? Everyone, I don't know what the lighter. The lighter, I guess that's the word, right? You have the lighter on, you have the match on, right? Then, once the fire is there, that's when you make your bracha, on the third line where it's underlined, v'achrei zeh yivorech asher kedoshanu b'mesos v'tzivanu l'hadik ner shel Shabbos. The yadlik, and then he lights, and that's how a guy does it. V'ha isha, mikeva shemikabelas es haShabbos b'hadlakasa. Right, that's a shmir Shabbos paskening that a woman accepts Shabbos with her bracha. Skipping those three words, mivareches rak la'achar hadlaka. She should make her bracha after she lights. Shem tivarech kodem harei kvar kabbalah es kibla es haShabbos bivracha shebircha v'shuv lo tucha lahadlik. Once a woman makes the bracha, so that's her acceptance of Shabbos, and she's no longer able to light. So he explains this idea also about covering your eyes or covering the candles. Fine. Now there is an interesting discussion whether a woman can light al tanai. What does that mean to light al tanai? Well, let's say a woman wants to light her candles, but she doesn't really want to accept Shabbos just yet, right? Is a woman able to light Al Tanai and basically say, I don't want this to be my Kabbalah's Shabbos? So we end up saying that it is, technically speaking, it is okay for a woman to do that. Just want to find it in my notes here. Right. When would this come up? Let's say, for instance, let's say you have stuff to do in your house and you want to drive to shul, or it comes up in Israel about driving to the kotel, right? So you're staying at a hotel or an apartment in Yerushalayim, you light your candles and you go to the kotel. So there is a discussion whether or not it's okay. Generally speaking, I think the Ramah tells us in Si'if Yud that it's okay for a woman to light Al Tanai, but the Mishnah Berurah says it's best not to do so regularly and should be done only when there's like a real tzorich. But to always be lighting Al Tanai is not the best idea. But definitely, one is able to light Al Tanai and say, I am lighting right now, but I still have to do one or two other things. I have to turn off the oven, I have to turn the lights on. That would, technically speaking, be okay. Let's take a look at source number 4, and that really gets us into tonight's, I would say, main topic. Again, Mrs. Miller asked us, Dr. Miller, Mrs. Miller? Tammy Miller? I'm not sure if it's a doctor. I know she works in a hospital. Anyway, pretty sure it's a Dr. Miller. Dr. Miller asked last week at the very end of Shear.
Dr. Miller is very nice. Dr. Yvette Miller, but this one is Tammy.
Just
Miller.
Tammy, okay. Yeah. There you go, just Tammy Miller. So she asked a great question at the end of last week's Shear. I'm not sure if everyone heard it or not, so we'll repeat it. I think you said you used to. You want to ask it out loud, or you want me to do it?
I think what I was saying was that while volunteering at North Shore Hospital, I would give out the LED little tea lights to the patients, and they would ask me great shilas all the time, and I would say, you need to talk to your local Orthodox rabbi. But one interesting one was, are they allowed to light these electric ones in the hospital and make a bracha if their, let's say, husband was home making a bracha there with them in mind?
Awesome. Okay. So I also, while I was thinking about this question throughout the week, I thought it was a battery-powered candle. They always had the LED ones?
I don't think it's battery. I think it's a little switch.
So the reason why I'm asking is because last week when we discussed the halachos of using electricity for candles, so many poskim assume that we don't make a bracha on LED. But that being said, I did see that a battery-powered one would be okay. And part of the reason for electricity, again, I think almost everybody was here last week, but one of the reasons that Rav Moshe wasn't into electricity was maybe there's a chance that the either could be a blackout on the grid, the power outage, whatever it may be. But if you use a battery, so there's really no concern for the power to go out. So you can make your bracha, you just turn it on, and you're good to go. So I remember hearing or seeing some point this week that a battery-powered light would be okay. An LED one, again, gets us into the whole question about electricity or something like that. But more fundamentally, let's assume it was an incandescent bulb that everyone says, or almost everybody says, you can make a bracha on. So let's reiterate the question. You have these bulbs that in theory you can make a bracha on. Or the question, let's say in general, let's say you had candles. Let's say the hospital lets you light two little tea lights on your hospital tray. Do you make a bracha? Are you required to light those candles if someone is lighting it for you at home? So if we take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in Simin, Rish Samachimel Seif Vav, this is source number 4. He says, Bachurim hahochim lomod chutz labesam. You have a boy who's going off to yeshiva, or it could be a husband who's going off to yeshiva. It doesn't really make a difference. Right? The Mishnah Berurah tells us in source number 5, meaning it's not just like a single guy going to learn, but hainu sheyesh lehem nashim, they have a wife. There is someone at home who would be lighting for them. Ela shehochim chutz labesam. Right? So they're going out. So let's go back to source number 4 just for clarity's sake. So you have these guys who are going to learn Torah or to go somewhere outside of their home. It could be a business trip, right? Tzrichim lahadlik ner Shabbos b'chadram ulevarech alav. Whoa. The guy is going to be in his own place, or a woman is going to be in her own place for Shabbos, okay? B'chadram, they have to light a ner Shabbos in their room, ulevarech alav, and make a bracha on it. However, mishuhu eitzel ishto, ein tzarech lahadlik b'chadram ulevarech alav. Right? If you're by your wife, or I guess if you're with your husband, whatever it may be, right? So a guy wouldn't have an obligation to light candles because his wife is going to be lighting the candles and she's going to make the bracha on it. Lefisha ishtam evarechas bishvilo. Because the wife, generally speaking, is the one who's making the bracha for him. So let's do these Mishnah Berurahs, and then we're going to take a look at the next Shulchan Aruch, and then we're going to have to take a step back. But let's pick up the pieces as we go. First of all, again, a person who leaves his home, even though he has someone lighting for him at home, so if he has his own room, his own space, he's going to be obligated not just to light, but they are also going to make a bracha. Hold on 1 second, there is a 3V battery and the little lights passed out at the hospital. Are you at the hospital right now? I just got very excited. Okay. You have
it. I have that at the hospital.
Oh, okay, awesome. There you go. And they have a little battery in it.
Button on the bottom, and it turns on. Okay. Off.
And it's a battery.
I think so. I mean, otherwise, I don't know how it would work.
Okay, Gaval. Yes, there you go. So there you go. That's how we make it. I guess it doesn't matter. I don't know why I said that. Why did I assume an LED can't be a battery? Once you assume it's a battery, okay, fine. Anyway, if it's a battery, I think we say it's okay and you can make the bracha and we're not concerned for the issue of Ramosha. Although, parenthetically, just to reiterate from last week, Rabbi Reis quoted from Rabbi Schwarzatzal that his mesora was to not make a bracha on any sort of light bulb. So I don't know what to do with that. I guess ask your LOR. Again, we're just learning Torah for learning Torah's sake, and no one should ever trust me for halacha l'maisa. Okay, fine. Let's continue a little bit, though. What were we saying? Okay, a person who's away from home. Let's make sure we're clear here. A person's away from home, even though they have someone lighting for them back at home, if they have their own space, their own room, so they're obligated to light their own candles. If we take a look in source number 6, Mishnah Berurah says, "Bichadrum, why are they lighting in the room? Afilu acheder miyuchad rak lalun sham." Meaning, let's say you're sleeping someplace, okay? Ve'ochlim b'bayis acher, and you're eating somewhere else. So let's say, it's like a classic example, you're put up somewhere for, I don't know, like an ufra for a sheva brachos or whatever it may be, right? So you're sleeping at the Schwartz's house. You're eating in the shul. It sounds like if you're going to be sleeping and you have your own space in the Schwartz's house, so you would have to make a bracha. You would be obligated to light your own candles and make a bracha on it. Now again, the question is as follows. Why is it that you're required to light candles, b'chlal, right? We know, as we've been saying this entire time for the past 2 months, we have Oneg and Kavod Shabbos and we have Shalom Bayis. Oneg and Kavod Shabbos, generally speaking, is in a room specifically where you're going to be eating, and then more generally speaking, to have the house ready for Shabbos, and then Shalom Bayis, so you don't step on a piece of Lego, or you don't step on something, or hurt yourself, or bump into anything. So the Iker lighting, we might say, is going to be in the place where you are going to be eating, right? So maybe that's the shul, or maybe that's the, I don't know, whatever it is that you're eating. But if you're just sleeping in a person's house, why are you required to light? So if you look in source number 7, the Mishnah Berurah tells us the following. Hadlakas ner chova mishum shalom bayis shali kashal be'etz o be'even. So lighting candles is really because of shalom bayis, to make sure you don't step on anything so you don't get hurt. V'tzarech lios haneros aruchim shiyidleku ad shivo leveisam belayla. The Mishnah Berurah tells us something very important. The candles that you light when you're going out. So you light, let's say you light at home and you're eating at friends' houses, or you're at the sleeping at the Schwartz's, but the Ufrav's taking place in shul, or anything like that. If you're lighting in your own place, Mishum Shalom Bayis, so yes, you're supposed to light, and yes, you're even required to make a bracha. That being said, the light that you have needs to be sufficient, or needs to last long enough, that you're actually going to be able to benefit from it. So let's say you're using candles, the candles might go out by the time you get back home. That would end up being a bracha levatala. Because you made a bracha on the Ner Shabbos that was only there, Mishum Shalom Bayis, you don't step on anything, and you didn't actually use that Mishum Shalom Bayis because the lights went out. So you have to make sure that the lights last long enough. Now, 2 points here. Number one, if you're using an electric thing, electric light, using a light bulb, so then you kind of avoid that issue because Lamaisa, they stay on the entire Shabbos, right? Or whatever, you set a timer, but the point is, the lights could be sufficient, right? Again, incandescent bulbs. The other option And this we're going to see in a little bit if you're going to in-laws or whatever it may be for a meal. We're going to go through, I think, practical cases in just a little bit. But one move you can do is actually after you light, so you wait. Meaning you don't light candles and run to your mother's house or something like that. But rather you light candles. You wait a little while until it's actually Shabbos after, you know, Zman. And you sit by the candles. You sit in the room in which you lit. And then you're using those lights. So that's like another, it's like a good move on the early end, not on the late end. Right? Everybody follow that? Just want to make sure that was clear. Okay, fine. So let's see. So the Mishnah Berurah continues. He says, Va'al hayuridim, skipping to the what line? End of the second line. Va'al hayuridim shemis achsenim harbe bale batim bechider echad. Let's say you're in a place where they threw a bunch of people in a room, right? It says you don't have your own private space, but you're in a room with other people. Ve'ein bal habayis imahim bechadrim, and the bal habayis isn't with them. So then in that case, chal alayim chuvas hadlaka bivracha. Right? If a bunch of people are rooming together, so candles need to be lit, right? With a bracha, afilu im nesheim madlikim bevesim, even if their wives are lighting for them in their homes. Al kain, so what does a person do? Again, a bunch of guys in a room, let's say. My brother-in-law just went to Uman for Shabbos, I think 2 weeks ago. And he said, I don't know if anybody's been to Uman here. I don't know if anybody has ever seen pictures or videos from Uman. I don't even know how it works. But he was in a room with, like, I think 12 other guys, a tiny little space. So presumably they have their own chiv of hadlakos neiros. But how does it happen, right? Everybody lights their own candles. So the Mishnah Berurah tells us, Alkin yishtafu kulam, v'yarlich echad v'yivarich, v'yichavin lehotzi kulam b'virchaso. One person should light. They're all mishtatef, they all gather, they join together for the lighting. That doesn't mean they sit around with their arms on each other and rock back and forth and the person's lighting, but it means they all contribute to the licht, whether it means like paying a couple pennies or shekels or whatever it may be for the wicker, for this guy gets the oil, this guy gets the cup, this, right? They all come together somehow, some way, in order to contribute for the Ner Shabbos. It happens to be, I remember, when I was in YU, I have a friend, Rabbi Jonah Steinmetz. When we were in YU, he wasn't a rabbi. Now he's a rabbi. He's a big Talmud Chacham. He actually runs, I'll just throw this out there, this is not a shameless plug at all. This is a great plug. He runs a program called Asicha Seminars. Everyone should look into that. I highly recommend it. Asicha Seminars is actually, it's similar to what we're doing right now, but much better. Like a million times better because he's amazing. But it's a high-level learning program for women. It's something that he started, and it's really taking off. And everyone should just look into that. I'll send the link later because I think if everyone started learning with him, it'd be much better for Klal Yisrael instead of learning with me. That being said, I remember when we were in YU, he came for Shabbos once and he went to my mother before Shabbos and I think gave her like a quarter for Ner Shabbos to be mishtatef in the lighting because we weren't eating at my parents' house, we were eating at someone else's house. And I just remember never seeing that in my entire life before. But my mom didn't think it was weird at all. I guess my mom knows the halacha, and she's like, yeah, of course, okay. And she took it. I was like, what is going on here? But anyway, what happens? You're sitting mishtatef, a bunch of people sleeping together in one room, everyone gets together, contributing to the licht. V'im habal habayis gam kein imahim. But here's the kicker. Okay, this is another, let's just make sure we're picking up the steps. If you're by yourself in a room, you have a chiv to light and make a bracha. If there are a bunch of people in a room together, meaning you don't have your own space, but the baal habayis is not with you, so then you all have a chiv to light, but one person should light on behalf of everyone. Third step, here we go. V'im habal habayis gam kein imahim bechadrim, but if the baal habayis is there, ein sarach leishtatef imo befrite kivin shenishem malikim bevesam. If the baal habayis is with you, so then it's as if you're part of his house, right? It's as if he's, you know, taking care of it. He's responsible for everyone. And because he's responsible for everyone, so then you're covered and you don't have to light. Right? So we're going to see that there's this notion of if you're being taken care of bala bala bias. What I did not do tonight, I didn't put on the next halacha. And everyone just bear with me. I know we're always saying a lot of halacha right now, not getting to practical cases, but I want everyone to just get the background. What I want to do now is share screen for just a moment because I made a mistake. Okay? Can everybody see what we're looking at right now? Everybody sees the screen? Okay. So what I want us to do is look at Halacha Zion. See if Zion in the Shulchan Aruch also. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, again, this is in Reish Samach Gimel. We just read Vav. Oreach, a guest, she'in lo cheder miyuchad, a guest who does not have their own private space, v'gam in malikin alav beveso, and has nobody lighting for them at home, so tzarech lishtatef bepruta. That person would need to join together, again, with the person that he's staying at. Okay? So again, just to be clear, your guest, you don't have your own space, but you don't have anybody lighting for you at home. Whatever that means. Maybe you have a single person who doesn't have family back at home, whatever, you know, the case may be. So they need to be mishtatef with the Baal HaBayis where they're staying. Maybe that would be, you know, considered like my friend. He was NYU, he was dorming in the dorms and he was never really home. So it's not considered like he has anybody lighting for him at home, but he was a single guy. So he had to be mishtatef. Let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah though, because the Mishnah Berurah is going to give us a couple more important points, and then I promise we're going to get to more practical halacha. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, the Mishnah Berurah tells us over here. Let's just go through them in order. She'in lo cheder miyuchad. Ha'im haya lo cheder miyuchad, tzarech lahadlik levarech, afilu im adlikim alav beveso. So again, just very clearly, the Mishnah Berurah tells us just the contrast, right? If you were in your own private space, you would have to make a bracha, even if someone was lighting for you at home. Fine. Now this is an important one. Lehishtatef in Se'if Katan Lamed Gimel. He tells us the following. Ubereish Simin Tov Reish Ayin Zayin Hevi HaMogin Avram B'Shem Shuvas Rashal. So the Mogin Avram says the following. Degam HaBachurim Tzrichen Lehishtatef U'masik Sham De'efshir Dehainu Davka K'she'ocho Bifnei Atzmo. Right? Maybe this all only applies if they're eating by themselves. That's when they have to be Mishtatef. Aval im samuch al shulchan ba'al habayis. This is very important. If a person is going to not have his own space and doesn't have anybody lighting for him at home, but he's eating at the ba'al habayis, harehu b'chlal b'nei beso. He's counted as one of the b'nei beso. So just like a mother is lighting on behalf of everybody in her house, her husband and her children, so she would also be covering those who what? She'd also be covering those who are eating at her table. And because of that, this person who doesn't have his own space, who doesn't have anybody lighting for him at home, would actually not have an obligation to light near Shabbos because he's going to be covered by the person lighting. What I'm going to do now is the following. We're going to put up a chart, and we're going to just go through the chart together. Just want to make sure I have the right one. Here. Can everyone see this? Hold on. Okay, let's move this on top of my screen. Okay, so this is I think a good summary of what we did. This is not my chart, this is Rabbi Krav's chart when we learned this together. So again, the difference is going to be like this. Someone is lighting for you in a different location, or nobody is lighting for you in a different location. That might be, let's call it my friend Rabbi Steinmetz, Jonah Steinmetz, who's a dormitory student, someone who's dorming in YU. So what are the different cases? You have someone sleeping and eating away from home. Okay, so you're sleeping and eating in the same spot, and you have your own room. The kicker there is you have your own room, right? Once you have your own room, so then you have to light in your room with a bracha, right? Everyone says that across the board, whether married or single, doesn't matter. If you have your own space, that would obligate you in lighting candles. Now the question again is, yeah?
My question is, your own space, that means like if you're a guest in somebody's house or you're staying to light, I'm a little flummoxed by that.
Yeah, so I think the idea would be, let's say you have your own, you have a guest room, right?
Yeah.
And you know, the kids know to not go in there, and no one's going to be coming in to check the, I don't know, whatever it may be, to grab something from the closet, I don't know. So that would be considered like your own space.
I would not want somebody lighting candles in my guest room.
So I agree with you. Good. So we're going to talk about how practically people end up doing that. We'll talk about that. It could be, Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach actually has in Shmir Shabbos, which we can see in just a bit, that if there's enough light coming from outside, let's say like this, your kavod and oneg are going to be covered, let's say if you're a guest. So either wherever you're eating or by your spouse back at home, right? So what your only reason to be lighting is Mishum Shalom Bayis. Rosh Shlomo Zalman says if there's enough light coming from the hallway or from the den or wherever your room is situated, right? If you have enough light to be able to function, then you actually wouldn't need to light candles. You're putter. So that kind of, you know, helps you and helps your guest room situation. Right.
So I have a Shabbos light in there.
Yeah, exactly. To have the lamp. Right, exactly. So a person would, I think we spoke about this in the past also, to light that to light it. To turn on that the Shabbos lamp in the room would be a form of Shalom Bayis and Kavod, okay. You know? Then just depending on the bulb, right? We want to make that bracha. But yeah, absolutely. So that's the story. If you have your own room, that's kind of the kicker there. Let's say you're sleeping and eating at a friend's house without your own designated room. So if you're without your designated room, so then you're kind of not obligated as much, right? But still, again, we want to make sure that you have light for Shalom Bayis. You're not going to step on anything, but because you don't have your own room, you don't make a bracha, okay? If no one's lighting for you, though, let's check out the other column. So make sure there's light in your individual room, again, for Shalom Bayis, but you don't need to make a bracha, which we said before. And you don't need to chip in for cost of candle because you're eating with the host, right? If you're sleeping and eating at the host, we just said from the Mishnah Berurah, that you're considered one of B'nai Beiso, and the lighting that the woman does at that house is going to cover your licht. Now, the flip side, or where it gets a little bit more complicated, is just sleeping, not eating, at your friend's house with your own designated room. So that's not really so complicated, because if you have your own room, you're good. If you have your own room, when I say you're good, meaning you have your own room, and therefore you would, in theory, be obligated to light candles, okay? And that's whether or not you have anybody lighting for you at home. And then the next case is you're sleeping at your friend's house without your own room. So again, you're not going to be making a bracha. The only difference is over here. If you're just sleeping at someone's house and you're not eating there and you don't have your own room, that's when you would have to chip in for cost. Now, why is this all important? Why is it all important besides the fact that it's Torah? And it's important. So this already, to me, gets us an inkling into Tammy's question. Right? Mrs. Miller asked us, if a person's in the hospital room, so do they have an obligation to light if someone's lighting for them at home? So I would assume, again, I've only been in the hospital for Shabbos, I think once. Maybe it was twice with my wife. I think it was only once, though. My son was born on a Friday morning, so we were there for Shabbos. So it's not like everybody's coming in and out of your room. Yeah, their nurse is checking on you, but they knock and you have privacy. And I think in most hospitals, you have your own room, at least in America. I know Israel's a little bit different. I know Israel, my sister-in-law, gave birth with like a curtain basically separating her and her new friend who she met in the hospital. But in America, you have your own room. Once you have your own room, presumably you are obligated to be lighting a Ner Shabbos. Now, this gets into the discussion a little bit. Either lights on in your room anyway, right? So I think we mentioned a couple weeks ago, Rav Schechter actually notes, this is what I wanted to say by Al Tanai, and I forgot to say it. I'm happy we're coming back to it. Rav Schechter, if I'm not mistaken, says to turn off the lights in the room before you light Ner Shabbos. So there's a clear hecker. It's distinguished. It's clear. You can point to the Shabbos candle and say, these are the Kavod Shabbos because you're lighting them for light. If you have all the lights on in the room, so then what are your candles adding? So that's why he says to turn off the lights. And I think you could probably do that in the hospital room. However, even if you don't do that, so you're able to make a bracha anyway, Ashkenaz and Paskin, I think we saw this like 4 weeks ago, that Tosefes Or is enough of a reason to make a bracha. Meaning adding candles adds to the ambiance and aura in the room, and because of that, I think even, again, you're lighting your two candles or whatever it may be in the hospital room, that would be enough to make a bracha. And I think, again, since you have your own room, you're going to make a bracha. Question? So Robin put into the chat, for sure, leaving a giant candle in the room when no one's there, that's dangerous, you shouldn't do that. I agree with you, and that is a legitimate concern. Because of that, you probably wouldn't light your own candles. I think someone with like a little bit of seichel, it's kind of like a hotel, I would hope, if someone's staying in my guest room and wants to light candles, I would hope they like call the front desk, you know, ask us, like, is it okay if I light two tea lights? I'm not sure. I probably feel kind of weird saying yes, honestly, because no one's ever lit tea lights in our guest room. I think it comes back to Mrs. Eisenberg's comment about, you know, you can Shabbos clock where you have lights from the outside. There are ways that you're probably not necessarily obligated or need to light candles because there's probably sufficient light coming from other places. Like in our you know, bedroom that we have downstairs, there's an attached bathroom. So I would imagine most people leave the light on in the bathroom on Shabbos. And that's probably sufficient to fulfill the Shalom Bayis need of not stepping on anything, and then you wouldn't need to light Shabbos candles in the room anyway. So again, I think that's like a one way to kind of get around it. Let's just jump to Halacha L'Maisa real quick. because I think this is an important thing. So again, just a couple. Again, anybody have any questions? Sorry, I don't know if this has been the clearest here. I'm trying to make sure, but
yeah,
it's.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Why would it be that if you're eating, you're sleeping at someone's house but not eating there, that you have to contribute towards the candles?
Why would it be? Meaning, if you're sleeping
and eating at the same place, then you don't have to contribute towards the candles, is my understanding. But if you're sleeping there, but you're eating somewhere else, then you should contribute towards the candles. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I think because once you're eating at a certain place, so you're considered a b'nei bayis, and you don't have any obligation to light, right? Uh-huh. But once you're not eating there, so you're really just an orech, you're just a guest, and then the guest might have this obligation to kick in a little bit, to be mishtatef, to join together with the lighting. But once you're eating there, that means you're like, you're part of the family. That's how we view you.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, so let's just try to give two or three practical examples. We'll talk about an ufruf. You have a guy who's... This, I guess, isn't super lemaisa, but maybe you have a Shabbos kala. Maybe it's to make it more practical. In my notes, it's an ofruf, but for the shir, we'll talk about Shabbos kala. Where you have a person who is sleeping at a neighbor's house, but maybe eats with the family of the chassan or the kala in shul. So the question is, where should he light the Shabbos candles? Let's say he has his own room at the guest house, right? So if you have his, what's it called? If he has his own space, so he would be obligated to make sure he lights in his own space. The tricky thing is here though, right? So let's say you're sleeping at A's house, but you're eating at B's house. Here it's a little bit different because, again, we said a second ago, if you're eating at someone's house, you're considered like part of the family, like we just mentioned, and then you don't have that obligation. The difference is that the Bala Simcha might light in her own house, but then go to shul where the meals are going to be, right? So you wouldn't be fulfilling your own obligation with the Bala Simcha's lighting that she did in her house if she's not even eating in her house. Everybody with me on that? It's like a little bit of like a... There are three different places, so it's hard to keep track of everything. So in such a case, the idea is if you have your own room, so to make sure you have some sort of light in your room for Shabbos, again, maybe not candles, but to have a light bulb on or some sort of light from the outside, from the hallway, or to be mishtatef to chip in for the Shabbos candles at your host's house. That would be the eitzah for like the ofer of Shabbos kala situation. Let's say a person is sleeping and eating at their in-laws, right? Or parents or whatever it may be. Children-in-law, parents-in-law, whatever the case is. Where should one light if you're eating by them? So again, we know that there are two obligations for Ner Shabbos. There's the Kavod Shabbos, and that's probably going to be fulfilled by your, let's say like this, by my mother-in-law. But we eat down the block at the prayer house, right? So my mother-in-law lights her Ner Shabbos, and that's going to count for Kavod Shabbos. Now, the Shalom Bayis component is going to need to be fulfilled by the lights in the hallway or the bathroom in our room to make sure that we don't step on anything. So the question is, though, is there any obligation for my wife to light in the dining room, let's say? There is a minhag. It seems like many, many women do light anyway at the Shabbos table or whatever, next to the Shabbos table. So what's going on here? So really, me'ikir adin, you're yose with your mother-in-law, or if you're at your children, your daughter, your daughter-in-law's, light her candles. The Piskei Tshuva, the Sefer Piskei Tshuvas, is a very practical set of svarim with a lot of practical questions and answers. And so he says it's better really to light in your own room because of Shalom Bayis. And it's really the best thing to do, as we said, because you have electric lights, so there's not a lot of concern for any issues. There could be the move of lighting, and he says it's not crazy to light with your mother or daughter, whatever the case may be. Everybody gets what I'm saying now, so I'm just going to say mother-in-law, but we understand the different permutations of that. To light with your mother-in-law in the dining room, and you can make the bracha on it also, because again, there's this notion of making a bracha on Tosefes or an additional candles, and that's not really such a problem. But if you want, he says it's maybe a little bit more ideal to light in your own room because that's where you're going to be. And if you have your own space, then you have this obligation of Shalom Bayis. Again, this is kind of this whole catch-all that we keep going back for between like the ideal halacha versus the practical. Practically speaking, if you have enough light from the hallway, the bathroom, whatever it is, so then you don't really need to make a bracha, your putter, because you don't need to light candles because there's no issue of Shalom Bayis. When we have guests, the women come light with me. So that makes sense. A lot of people do that, and that's totally, it sounds like, okay. Just to make sure that they have some sort of, I'm just addressing the question. I think everybody sees that, right, from Anne? That when we have guests, the women come light with me where my candles are set up. That makes a lot of sense. That's the correct thing to do. And the Tosefes Zohar is totally fine, but they should just make sure that for Shalom Bayis purposes, they have some sort of light in their room as well. When it comes to hotels, it's a little bit funky, because generally speaking, it's actually really exciting. A boy just asked me today, as I was, you know, finishing up some of my notes for this year, Ida Crown is preparing their, they're planning for their senior Shabbaton, which is supposed to be at some hotel in Northbrook. So I said, oh, you're going to Shabbaton for Shabbos, what are you going to do for Shabbos candles? I got all excited, because I was beginning to look into that and finish up my notes on that topic. But the big question is, where do you light? When it comes to lighting the Kavod Shabbos where you're eating, so generally there's this like massive table set up off to the side of the room, and it's not really contributing light to wherever it is that you're eating. So some say it's really best to light and sit at a table close to that table, right? If it's done in the hallway, some hotels have it outside like the ballroom, and they have it in the hallway just outside, and that's, many posts say it's really not the best thing to do. If that's what, how it's set up, some people say to actually turn on a light in your room, make sure the lights are set up however you want in your room, run downstairs without speaking so that there's no hefsik, and then light with a bracha on the actual candles, and have in mind that it's actually connecting to your candles that you lit in your room. One second, I just wanted to find one line from Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach. Some people say, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that it might be best to have one person light on behalf of everybody in the dining room, again, because you have all these little tea lights and it's kind of like a little bit hefker. And again, many, many hotels do not allow you to light candles in your room, although we mentioned last week maybe a scented candle could be a move. But other poskim, I think my Rosh Yeshiva and YU say if a hotel tells you you're not allowed to light candles in your room, you are not yotze, right? I think Rav Willig, I'm pretty sure Rav Schechter holds this also, that if a hotel says you are not allowed to light candles in the hotel room, and then you go ahead and light candles, you're not yotze, you're near Shabbos with those candles. You're supposed to listen to what the hotel says. One more case that I had here is if you're eating just stam, it's a very basic case, and maybe we'll conclude with this because we've went a drop over, that a married couple, right, eating at friends' houses on a Friday night, what do you do? Is it better to light at your place, or is it better to light in their place, right? You're eating there. You're sleeping at your house, what's going on? So on one hand, it's best to light in the place that you're eating. As the Ramah tells us, that Iker ha'adlaka tliya b'neros sh'al ha'shochan. The Ramah says the Iker, the primary mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, is to have on the table where you're eating. However, on the other hand, when you return home, right, we want to make sure that there's light. We want to make sure that there's no issues of Shalom Bayis and bumping into anything. But since, again, we have electricity lights around in your house, there's no issue of Shalom Bayis. So maybe it is actually best to light where you're eating. Now, I don't know anybody who really does that. I don't know anybody who's really doing that. Now, why is that the case? Why don't... Oh, you? I got a hand. Is that a question? Or is that you're saying I do?
I have... he was my teacher in 7th and 8th grade here in Chicago. Now lives in Israel. And when he eats at somebody else's house on Shabbos Friday night,
yeah,
that's where his wife lights.
Wow, awesome. Okay, there you go. So very good.
They live in the old city, and when I would eat by them, they would insist I come early enough to like spendschlicht at their house.
Wow.
We were all eating somewhere else. I went to their house, and then we went together to the other person's house and lit there.
Wow. Awesome. Okay, so maybe that's Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach is quoted in the Shmir Shabbos Kehochaza saying that the reason why many people don't light when they go to eat at a friend's house is since you're eating at their house, you're considered like you're somech al shulchano, meaning you're part of their family now. And because of that, you're covered under the Ner Shabbos that is at that house that you're going to. When you come home, you have your electricity on. Maybe you're putter from lighting Shabbos candles, but most people are going to light anyway. That's what we do. Everybody lights Shabbos candles before you go out to your friend's house Friday night. So either the move is, and this is kind of what we started with, either to make sure that your candles are going to last long enough that when you get home, they're still lit, or to stay at your house for a couple of moments before you leave, meaning to make sure Shabbos is started, stay in the room where the candles are, you know, read a book or whatever it may be for just a moment. And then once you've, you know, been nehene, once you've benefited from the candles, so then you can actually go out and that would be okay and you cover your grounds. So that's just like a little bit in terms of lighting when you're not going to be at home or you're going to be in different places. Again, this is not exhaustive at all and there's like a lot to say on this. I hope I gave everybody like a little bit of food for thought. And then again, obviously ask your LOR, and if you have any questions, feel free and I'd be happy to discuss them in future shiurim. Okay. Any hold on, let me just check the chat here. Holy moly. That is so scary. Mamish, an entire shul burnt down?
That is terrible, yeah.
Oh my gosh. And that's what, I mean, we mentioned this a few weeks ago, I think, but Rav Willig Shlita tells all the women in shul to only light two candles. You have Zachar v'Shamor and no extra candles for children or anything like that. You only light two because he says it really is a sakana. Wow. Okay. Well, I feel bad ending on that. Besuros tovos, everybody. Everyone should light candles and everyone should be safe. Everyone should be good. And I wish everyone a fantastic rest of your week. And so thank you everyone for coming to learn with me.
Thank you.